Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
We stand because we want to honor the Word of God as it is taught and read in the house. I'm not going to ask you to stand the whole time, just while we read these five verses. And then we'll unpack them and talk about what the Lord's laid on my heart for this morning. So, if you're there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul writes and he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined..." Meaning I made it a point to not know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in much weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. I want to read that last phrase one more time because that's really what we're going to focus in on. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Would you close your eyes and pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you that you are the God of all power, as we like to sing and we like to say, but we don't just sing it and say it, we believe it. All power belongs to God. And I ask that today you would help us to not put our faith or our trust or our dependence in man's wisdom, nor in the ways of the world, but we put our trust in the power of God. As the psalmist said, some may trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but not us. We'll trust in the name of the Lord. I thank you that in your name there is power, there is strength, there is grace, there is hope. Everything that we need, salvation is found in the name that's above every other name. And I pray that today you would anoint me as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to clearly communicate what you want to say to your church. And I say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As we read this passage, as I was reading it, preparing this week, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I got to verse 5, and I read where Paul said that the reason that he came to them with his preaching, not being in persuasive words, not being in human wisdom, but in fact he was in much weakness and much fear and in much trembling, his desire was that their faith would not be put in a man or in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. That's why he said, when I came to you, because what Paul is saying, he's not saying that he wasn't a skilled orator. Because in fact, if you know Bible history, you'll understand that Paul was actually a great man of wisdom. He had studied. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the law backwards and forwards. He was in fact a great orator. He could speak and he could probably hold a crowd in the palm of his hands. But he said, on purpose, when I came to you, Corinthians, I came not wanting to know anything except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in much weakness and fear and trembling because I didn't want to prop myself up and you get so caught up in the way that I said it in my performance and the way that I communicated it, that you failed to realize that you can't put your wisdom or your faith in human wisdom, but in the power of God. So what he's saying is, in essence, what John the Baptist would say when he said, he must increase and I must decrease. Paul's saying, I don't want to make a show of me. I don't want to make this thing about Paul and look how wise he is and look how skilled he is and look how he communicates so wonderfully and so fluidly. He said, no, I didn't come to you with excellence of speech. I came to you with a simple message, and that's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that in him is the power to transform your life. I don't want your faith to be in the wisdom of man. And I fear that we are living in a day that exaggerates the very thing that Paul was urging the Corinthians to avoid and to stay away from. We're living in a day where the power of God is actually mocked and where the wisdom of man is exalted. We must choose, though, my faith that he's given me, and to each one has been dealt a measure of faith according to the book of Romans. My faith, I'm not going to put it in what someone says. No matter how good it sounds, no matter how great they are at communicating it, my faith is in the power of God. And listen, I thank God for doctors. I thank God for scientists. I thank God for men and women that have dedicated their life to help us advance in those ways. But at the end of the day, my faith isn't in what a doctor says. At the end of the day, my faith isn't in what a scientist says. At the end of the day, my faith is in the fact that I serve the God that can move a mountain, that I can say through faith, be cast into the sea and it will remove itself, that the mountain shall become a plain and the plain shall become a mountain. I believe that we serve a God that can do anything. Our faith must rest solely in the power of God. It's not the wisdom of a man that'll save your family. Listen, if that was the case, everybody that listened to Dr. Phil and Ellen and all those people, they think that that can change their life. Listen, no. The wisdom that a person possesses, no matter how good it sounds, it can't change your life. Only the power of God can change your life. So it's not the wisdom of man that will save your family. It's not the schemes and the structures of man that will grow this church. We could go to this church growth conference and listen to this pastor. I could listen to this podcast. But I've come down to, yes, systems and structures are good. Order is great. But it's the power of God that transforms lives that's going to cause people to want to be in the house of God. So it's not the wisdom of man that changes us, saves us, helps us, heals us. It's the power of God. And I love that song that we've been singing that says, I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen broken bodies healed. And then it goes on to say, don't you tell me that he can't do it. Why? Because I know he can. Why? Because I've seen him do it before. And what he's done before, I know that he will do it again. So my faith is not in what is said, what is presented to me. My faith is solely in the power of God because I know that he can. Why? Because I know he's still the God who saves. He's still the God who heals. He's still the God who delivers. He's still the God who opens blind eyes. He's still the God that can resurrect the dead. He's still the God that what we've read about him doing, what we've seen him done. How many of y'all have seen God move in your life? Guess what? He ain't done. He's going to move again. He can and he will. Why? Because he is a powerful God. In fact, I love what it says in Psalm chapter 62, verse 11. It says, once God has spoken, twice have I heard. All power belongs to God. And in the New Testament, when Jesus was getting ready to go and be seated at the right hand of the Father and ascend back unto to paradise, he said to us, he said, all authority has been given to me. So Psalm says all power belongs to God. In the New Testament, Jesus says all authority belongs to him. But then at the end of that commission that he gives us, he says, and guess what? I'll be with you even to the ends of the earth. So if he's with us and he has all authority, then we have access to that authority. We have access to that power. Because here's the beautiful thing about it. All power belongs to him, but he has given us access to walk in that power. You know, at the beginning of the year, God spoke to me. I was in prayer one day. And I don't know if you've ever been in a moment like this. I'm sure some of you have if you've walked with the Lord for a long time and you have a consistent prayer life. But I was praying one day and all of a sudden I said, I declare this will be a year of, and I rattled seven words off immediately. And I knew that I didn't compute those. I didn't come up with them. I didn't calculate. It was seven words that all started with the letter P, and the Holy Spirit just prayed them through me in that moment. And we talked about them at the beginning of the year. We printed out and gave out little Bible bookmarks, and hopefully you've got one. If you didn't, let me know. We'll make sure we get you one if we're out. But it's seven words of P, and we started with talking about the presence of God, because if we don't have the presence of God, we might as well not even open up the doors on Sunday mornings. That's what we're after. It's what we long for, is the presence of God. But another word on that list, and I hope you've been praying through and studying that list, is the word power. I believe this is going to be a year of the power of God at work in our life. Now, some people get scared when they hear that because they've seen abuse in church. They've seen people, do something and then claim it was the power of God. No, we want the pure, unadulterated power of God. You see, there's such a thing as strange fire in the house of God. There was a time when Moses was leading the people of Israel and the sons of Aaron, they took censers and they offered profane fire before the Lord, and the Lord struck them and killed them immediately. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about pure, unadulterated, the power of God that he has given us access to. And I'll show you that in scripture today. But the beautiful thing is that he has given that power to us, to be in us and to work through us. And so this morning, my sermon title is simply Power to Prevail. Okay, God has given you, did you know that God has given you in your life the power to prevail? Whatever it is that is opposing you, coming against you, whatever you're facing, if it's a sickness, if it's an issue in a relationship, if it's a financial problem, if it's a big decision, if somebody's out to get you, somebody's talking bad about you, it's any kind of challenge or tribulation that's in your life, God has given you the power to prevail. I know this because in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But also, we'll get to these scriptures later, but I think that so many people that have believed They've prayed a prayer. They've gotten on their knees and said, Jesus, I need you to forgive me of my sins, cleanse me, you know, make me new. I want to walk with you. So many people that have become a Christian fail to realize the power that comes from living in him and dwelling with and in the Holy Spirit. There's so many Christians walking around with no idea that they have power over unfruitful works of darkness. They have power over temptation. We have power over the enemy. In fact, this morning, this is just confirmation, Pastor Frankie texted me, one of our overseers. He didn't know what I was talking about or preaching about, but he sent me this scripture this morning. He said, good morning, Pastor Spencer. As I prayed for you this morning, I felt the urge to remind you of Matthew 8:9. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go. Come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, and they do it. As you minister today, you have all the power of the kingdom of God backing you up. You are not alone. You are not on your own. That was just confirmation that I knew. This is what God is saying to us. Listen to me, church. You have the power and the authority of the Most High God, not just behind you, but within you. And I'll show this to you in scripture in just a moment, because God has given us his power. In fact, what did Jesus say in Acts 1:8? If you're a good, how many of y'all grew up Pentecostal? Come on, just be honest. A few of you? Okay. All right. That explains a lot. I grew up Pentecostal, and so I heard this scripture all the time. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many of you have heard that before? Listen, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know what that word power means? It's the Greek word dunamis, and it means power through God's abilities. So he's not saying you shall receive power to do everything in your own strength, your own ability. You just decide I'm going to do it. That's not the kind of power to prevail I'm talking about. I'm talking about God touching you and his power surging through your body and giving you the ability to do what you cannot do under your natural strength or ability or wisdom, because you're not putting your faith in the wisdom of man, but you're putting it in the power of God, and you believe that his power can heal and transform and save and deliver and use you on your job, use you in your neighborhood, use you in this church, use you in your community to transform the lives of people around you, because you've received power, not your ability, but God's ability. It's like when the woman with the issue of blood, she crawled on her hands and her knees and she touched the hem of his garment. What did Jesus say? He said, somebody touched me. And they said, what are you talking about? Somebody touched you. Of course people touched you, Jesus. There's people, hundreds of people pushing and prodding and coming through here. He said, no. I'm not talking about somebody touched me. I'm talking about somebody touched me. He said, I felt virtue leave my body. What's he saying? He's saying, I felt the power of God surge out of my body and bring healing and deliver healing to somebody that has been tormented for 12 years with an issue of blood. That's the kind of power that I'm talking about. Not just I feel good. I feel good about myself. I'm positive about myself. No, I'm talking about the power of God working in you and giving you the ability to do what you cannot do on your own. But listen to me, church. It is not of us, but it is in us. The power of God has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you, but it is inside of us. It dwells inside of us. And I think we have this idea that it's an external mystical thought. But really, the power of God, he gave it to dwell inside of us. Why? Because he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you've received the Holy Spirit, you have received power. You have the power of God inside of you to prevail over every circumstance, every situation, every tribulation, every trial that tries to come your way. I want to show this to you in scripture. Go with me very quickly to Ephesians 3:20. I happen to flip right there. So I'll give you just a minute. If you guys are, you know, not the scholar that I am. I just stuck my thumb in there and it came out. I'm just kidding. Ephesians 3:20. Listen to what Paul writes and says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think. So often that is all that gets quoted in the scripture. We stop right there. And I've talked about this before, where we stop and we put a comma where God didn't put a, or we put a period where God put a comma, excuse me. There's no comma here. It doesn't stop. A comma, I wasn't the brightest crayon in the box, but I did at least learn that a comma means there's a continuation of the sentence, right? But so often we say, now in him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Stop. That's not where it stops. It says, according to the power that works, where? In us. in us the power to prevail. If you have Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit and they have you, the power to prevail is inside of you. The power, not that's at work outside external forces. No, that power that works in us. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. These are familiar passages that we know so well, but we don't just need to know them, we need to live them. Amen. That's why the book of James says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be ye doers of the word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. One of the first scriptures I learned when I was a child. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? But of power. He's given you power, love, and a sound mind. God has given us power to prevail. The word prevail, listen to this. This is so good. The word prevail means to prove more powerful than opposing forces. God has given you the power to prove more powerful than opposing forces. Like it or not, there are opposing forces in your life. Every single day we face them. I'll give you some examples. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, God is speaking to Cain, who was the first child of the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve. And he says to Cain, he says, sin crouches at the door, Cain, and its desire is to rule over you, but you must rule over it. One of the opposing forces that we as humans face every single day is the force of sin. Missing the mark, not heeding the voice of the Lord, doing what we shouldn't do or not doing what we should do. So often we look at sin just as doing what is wrong, but sin is also not doing what is right, because sin simply means to miss the mark. So if God has set a mark in your life to be who he has called you to be and you don't accomplish that, I believe that that's sin. Why? Because you've missed the mark that he's placed in your life. So it's not just that if I say something rude or if there's a lustful thought or if there's, you know, cheating or lying. It's that if I don't love, if I don't speak kindness, if I don't encourage, if I don't, you know, love others and serve others, I'm missing the mark. And he said, its desire, listen, I want you to get this. Sin is an opposing force. It's not just something that sometimes I sin and sometimes I have good days. No, sin every single day is crouching at the door of your spiritual life saying, I want to rule over you. But God told him, you need to rule over it, Cain. What do you need in order to rule over sin? You need the power of God. You can't do it on your own. If we could, we would have done it by now, but we can't. We need the power of God. Sin is an opposing force in your life. Sin that brings separation to God. Sin that always leads to death. It does not have to control your life. You can rule over it. You can prevail. Another opposing force in your life, fear. Fear is always seeking to wreak havoc on your life. Fear of what could happen. Fear of what won't happen. You know, it's always trying to rule your life. But remember what we read a moment ago. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if you've been fighting fear, you need to declare that every single day of your life. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I believe that. I declare that over my life. I have love. I have power. I have a sound mind. Why? Because I am not my own, but I've been bought with a price by the precious, incorruptible blood of Jesus. And I will not walk in fear. Fear, you know, goodness gracious, the dollar signs move 4 times faster than the gallon signs at the gas pump, right? I mean, what am I going to do? That's just, so many people are crippled by that thought right now. What's going to happen with this war that's going on over here and in the Ukraine with Russia and all this stuff? The what ifs, the what nots, the whys, all these thoughts. You need to remind yourself, I have the power of God inside of me. I don't have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. When those thoughts bombard your mind, you need to remember, no. That's an opposing force, and I have the power to prevail over that opposing force. I'm not going to ride that train of thought. Listen, we use that analogy, train of thought. Think about that. You ever heard that before? I was on the wrong train of thought. Well, think about your mind like a train station. If you get on a train, you can get off of a train. So if you're riding the train of fear, get off the train of fear and get on the train of faith. If you're riding the train of anger, get off the train of anger. Start riding the train of love and hope and peace. So ride the correct train of thought, right? You'll never reach the right destination if you take the wrong train. I remember when I went to New York City, if it weren't for a local New Yorker, I never would have gotten where I needed to go. But thankfully, they knew what subway I needed to get on, and they were kind enough to tell me and to show me. And sometimes we are just simply riding the wrong train, and we're wondering, why am I getting to the wrong destination? Because we need to get on a different train. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because listen to me, His power is greater than your anxiety. His power is greater than your fear. His power is greater than your doubt and your depression and the uncertainty that you might be facing. You know another thing, and we don't separate these enough, but fear is, yes, opposing you, but so is doubt and so is worry. Okay? Doubt and worry want to control your every move. They want to control your every decision. What if this? What if that? But you need to remind yourself, He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think, according to the power that is working, that is at work in me. I love that word work or working, at work. It is the Greek word energeo, and it's where we get our word energy, right? Meaning it's His power that energizes you to put your faith into action. Because James tells us faith without works is dead. Well, we need energy in order to do the work of God that He has called us to do in our life. So it's the power of God that energizes us to put our faith into work. Somebody here today, maybe multiple people, you've been feeling drained. You've been feeling empty, unsure if you can go on. You're at the end of your rope. I believe that today the power of God can come into your life and energize you to be everything that He has called you to be, so that you don't miss the mark, but so that you do press onto the mark of the prize of the high calling that is found in Christ Jesus. But listen to me today, church. I want to encourage you. He doesn't just want you to make it. He doesn't just want you to survive. He's given you power to prevail. I love the scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, which says, yet in all these things, what are all these things? If you go back in Romans chapter 8, he's talking about suffering, 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 suffering. But he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Listen, because remember, the power of God, it's not of us, but it's in us. It's not through us, but it's through Him. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loves us. Here's what I love. That word, more than, well, what we have for our language is more than conquerors. It's one word in the Greek, and it means prevail completely. Prevail completely. So, yet in all of these things, everything you're facing, everything that's up against you, you're more than a conqueror. What does that mean? That means you're able to prevail completely. Why? Through Him who loved you. Not partially. I love that. It doesn't say you're able to prevail some. You're able to prevail mostly. No. You have the power to prevail completely. How? Through Him. Because He's given us His power. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. It says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory. As His divine power has what? Given to us. That word given means to bestow upon or to present as a gift. What does that mean? The power of God is not earned and it's not conjured up. It's been given to us. And the problem with a lot of us as Christians that have grown up around this, that have been in church for a long time, is that we still think that the power of God is an external source that we need to tap into. No, it's inside of you. It's just what we have. He says, by His divine power, He has given us that word power, same exact word, dunamis, God's ability. He has given to us everything that we need that pertains both to life and godliness. So what does that mean? It means that in order to walk in power, we simply have to believe that His word is what it says it is. So often we're looking for something outside, an external force that will magically transform our life. But I'm here to tell you today, that according to the book of Romans, if the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will give life to your mortal body. The same exact Holy Spirit that went into that tomb and caused Jesus to raise from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body. In fact, some translations say he'll quicken it, right? That word quicken makes me think of that word energio, energy. He will give life. He will energize you to walk in what he's called you to walk in. And I don't know what you're facing, but here's the cool thing. I honestly don't have to know what you're facing. You know why? Because he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that ever I could ever ask or think. So every single person in here has different opposing forces. Yes, sin is coming against all of us. Yes, fear tries to get at all of us from time to time, doubt and worry. But maybe there's a mountain that you're facing. Maybe you have a medical issue. Maybe you have a lost child, a son or a daughter that has walked away from the faith. Maybe you have something that you're facing financially that you're just not sure how you're going to get through it. The good news is no matter what it is, he's given you the power to prevail. No matter how bad it's gotten, listen, I've gotten to points where I didn't know what else to do, where else to go, and all I had to turn to was the Word of God. And in that moment, the Word of God always proved to be enough. If you're lacking faith, you know what you need to do? You need to get into the Word of God. Why? Because according to the book of Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And he has given us power to prevail. But our faith can't be in the wisdom of man. But let's go back to where we started. It's got to be in the power of God. So we exercise that faith by putting it in his power. He has given us, remember what 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. That word godliness simply means godlikeness. We can walk. And I love, in fact, man, it was just cool how prophetic the texts I received this morning were. My dad texted me and my brother this morning, as he does most every Sunday morning, and he sent us the scripture where Jesus said, the same work shall you do and greater work shall you do. Why? Because I'm going to my Father. God wants to use you to do the stuff that Jesus did. The way that he ministered to people, the way that he loved on people, the way that he transformed people's life. He has given us everything that we need. And I love that nothing is impossible with God. Psalm 62:11, all power belongs to God, and he has chosen to extend that power to you and to me. What does that mean? That means fear can't stay. Worry can't stay. Sin can't continue to wreak havoc on your life or your home or your mind anymore. You are called in power. So that means that whatever's been attacking you, whatever's been discouraging you, whatever's been tormenting you, whatever's been annoying you or tempting you, God has given you the power to prevail over it. It doesn't have to wreak havoc on your life anymore to overpower the opposing forces in your life. But you must remember this. It's not of you. It's in you. It's his. It belongs to him. The power has nothing to do with you and it has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with him being inside of you. That's why we can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's not about me. This vessel, and listen, I'm just flesh and bone. I'm just dust, and you're the same. You look great for dust, by the way, just so you know. But that's all we are. But the good news is, when he comes inside of us, what was just dust, what was just blood and flesh and bone, all of a sudden there is power to become what we couldn't be before. I've got an analogy for you. Look at these TVs for me up here. Probably all of you have one of these in your home, right? A television. And just like any bit of technology, a television can be used for great good or great bad. And I think that, you know why this generation is so attached to technology? Because technology is so human-like. Here's what I mean by that. It can be used for great good or great bad, just like you. You can do great things for God, or you can do great evil. You ever look at somebody and you wonder, how could they be? Just yesterday, we were watching a movie based on World War II. And every time that I see what was done to the Jewish people or to people that were marked as lesser than by the Nazis, I just wonder, how could somebody be so evil? But then I remember, if it weren't for the grace of God and it weren't for the power of God, it weren't for the love of God, I might not do that. But I wouldn't be any better. So we're so attached to technology because technology, I mean, these TVs, think about it, every single Sunday morning, they are used to facilitate what takes place. The lyrics that are put on the screen that Shelley puts up there. Listen, some people would be completely lost without those, and that's fine. That's why we have it. It's used to put up sometimes scriptures or to put up announcements. They're used to facilitate. So they can be used for great good. But at the end of the day, if I were to walk over there and take the power source and remove it from the outlet, it's no good. Something that is capable of conveying great information and revealing to you lyrics, scriptures, things that are used and are needed in the service. If we were to unplug it, now it's just plastic, metal, and just it's still capable, but it's not doing anything. It's not helping anything. So is the same with us. Without Him, we're just flesh and blood. We're just bone and skin. But when the power of God, when we stay connected to the source, there's power to do what we can't do without Him. Just like that TV, it has everything in it that it needs to work. But if it doesn't have power, it won't work. If we took it out in the middle of the field with no extension cord, we could have the TV, but it wouldn't do any good. Why? Because there's no power. It's not connected to the source. And it makes me think about John chapter 15. Go with me and we'll stay there for the rest of this morning. John chapter 15. Well, I say we'll stay there. We might not. We'll see. John 15 verse 1. Jesus says, I'm the true vine and my Father the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. I always love to say the reward for bearing fruit is getting pruned. So if you're bearing fruit, just get ready. That's the reward for bearing fruit. So that you may bear more fruit, though. You are already clean because of the words which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Listen to this last part. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Like the TV, without power, it can't do anything. Right? Obviously, Jesus is not saying that without him, we can literally do nothing, because almost every day we do things without him, unfortunately. But what he's saying is, apart from him, without him, we can't do anything that matters, anything that's fruitful, anything that is powerful. We won't have the power to prevail without him, without the power that comes from being connected to the source, which is abiding in the vine, because he starts with saying, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that is in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. What is he talking about? He's talking about being connected to the source. The vine is the source for the branches. And he said, without me, you can't do anything. But in other parts of the scripture in the Gospels, it says, with God, all things are possible. With man, this is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. But another key to unity, so number one, or I'm not unity, I'm about to go to unity. One key for power is stay connected to the source. But God also shows us in his word that power comes from unity. So let's talk about unity for a moment. Matthew chapter 18, we've talked about this passage many times. It says that, he will give us the power to, he said, assuredly, I say unto you, if any two of you agree on earth concerning anything, I will give you the power to bind and to loose. Let's just go to Matthew 18. I want to read it instead of just quoting it to you. I want to read it to you verbatim so that you get what Jesus is saying in this passage. Matthew 18. Let's pick up in 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained a brother. But if he will not hear, take with you two or more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If he refuses to hear, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him to be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Listen to verse 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my power in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. If you go back over to Matthew chapter 16, Jesus begins to say to Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is the church? The church is the gathering together. He said, if two or more of you agree on earth concerning anything, it will be done for you. He promises us the power to bind and to loose, but it does not come if we're not connected with one another. He said, if two of you gather together, that's talking about unity. I was reading one day and I found out that draft horses, which are extremely strong animals that are used to, you know, pull, well, not anymore. Now we just use, you know, tractors for everything, but they were used for thousands of years to pull things and to trailers, loads, trees, whatever. Draft horses, one draft horse can pull up to 8,000 pounds of weight. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of weight. So you would think that if you put two draft horses together, they could pull 16,000 pounds of weight. Why? Right? I said rate, but I meant weight. 8,000 pounds of weight, right? Is my homeschool math correct? 8,000 plus 8,000, 16,000? Okay. Nathan's homeschooled, but he's way smarter than me. This guy's a mechanical engineer. He and his dad was a rocket scientist, okay? So is my math correct, Nathan? Okay, 16,000. But that's incorrect. And it's not because my homeschool math is incorrect. The reason is that two draft horses that can each pull 8,000 pounds by themselves can't pull 16,000 pounds on their own. They get together, they can pull 24,000 pounds on their own. Not two times the amount of weight, but three times the amount of weight. Why? Because when you work together, you can do so much more than you can ever do on your own. It doesn't just double up. He said, assuredly, if any two of you agree on anything concerning him, what you can do by yourself and what you can do by yourself, and then you put God in the middle of it, it amplifies what you're able to do. It doesn't just double it, but now it puts it into a realm that you can't even realize or compute. I love it in the book of Joshua. It says, five of you shall chase 1,000. Five of you shall chase 100. How can five people chase 100? Because if God is with you against your enemy, you are always the majority. Because you and God, and when we come into connection together, that's why church is so important. That's why relationship is so important. That's why fellowship is so important, is because we are so much better together than we could ever be apart. We don't just double up, it triples up what we can do. So if two draft horses can pull 24,000, what could all of us do together for this community? What could all of us do together for the kingdom of God? If we said, you know what? It's not about who gets the credit. It's not about who gets the glory. It's not about, you know, just what I want. How do I come into agreement with those that are around me so that we can see, like in Psalm chapter 133, where it says how blessed it is and how pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity. And it goes on and it says, there, where brothers dwell in unity, God has commanded his blessing, life forevermore. If you want to walk in power, stay connected to the source and stay in fellowship with his body, which is the church. Why? Because the church is the only entity that will last forever. Because he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. One day, Washington will fall. And I know to your American mindset, no, we're the greatest country of all time. Trust me. One day, you know how I know that? Because the Bible says that one day, everyone will turn away from Israel. One day, this nation that has been great and can be great again will eventually fall. But you know what will still be standing? When the UN falls, when Washington falls, when Wall Street falls, the church. She'll still be standing strong. She'll still be going. We'll still be meeting together, praising together, praying together, being taught the word of God together, and we will still be seeing the power of God be at work because he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So that means that if the gates of, if hell doesn't have the power to prevail, who does? The church. We have the power to prevail, but we have, but here's the thing. That promise was given to the church, not to you as a lone stallion. Not to me as somebody just to be on my own. No, it comes through connection and unity. You have been given the power to prevail. We have been given the power to prevail. So here's what I want you to do today as you stand to your feet with me. I want you to determine within yourself that with the power of God to prevail, you're not going to walk in defeat. You're not going to be overcome. Because you are called to walk in power. You are called to walk in the authority that Christ Jesus has given to you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, what I want to do is I want to pray with you today. If you have need for the power of God to work in your life, I want you to simply raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If you have any need for the power of God to work in your life, Father, I pray right now. You said assuredly, in fact, I just want to read that again out of Matthew chapter 18. You said that assuredly, if any two of us agree together on earth concerning anything, it will be done for us. And so, Lord, right now, we partner our faith together. If you don't have your hand up, but you're near someone, would you either reach your hand their way or just lay your hand on their back right now? And let's just begin to do that. Let's just begin to agree together. Lord, right now, I agree with my brother Nathan right now for whatever it is that he is in need of, whatever it is that is concerning him and his family and his life. Lord, I believe that the power of God is inside of him, and it's according to you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that's at working in us, God. And I thank you for the power of God that's working in Nathan. And I ask that you would move and flow and give that energy that is needed. I thank you that you will provide it, God. And Lord, I just pray for every single person that is here today with their hand lifted, with their heart outstretched. God, I'm believing that you are able to do what we cannot do in and of ourselves, Father. And so I just pray, come on, just church, begin to pray for those that are around you. Let's just right now, body ministry, just begin to speak over their situation, speak into their life, begin to call out their name. Lord, I pray and I believe that you are going to do what we cannot do, Lord. And where fear tries to come in and oppose us, where doubt and worry tries to come in, where sin would try to hinder us, we just say right now, we will lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us so that we can run with endurance the race that is in before that is before us. So God, I pray for the power to endure. I pray for the power to be faithful. I pray for the power to say no to ungodliness and worldly lust. I pray for the power to refuse the spirit of fear that would try to come to us and say, that's not what God gave to me. God has given me power and love and a sound mind. And I declare that over every single person that is here today. Power, love, and a sound mind. Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus to the cross to die a gruesome death so that we could walk in power. And I thank you that the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life and quicken our mortal bodies. And I pray that you would help us to stay connected to the true vine. I just speak over you today, faithfulness to remain and abide. He said, if you abide in me, that word abide simply means to remain. Father, help us to remain in you. Help us to stay connected to you, to the source, to who you've called us to be, so that we might not miss the mark, but so that we can bear fruit, so that we can be powerful and loving and kind and honest. And Lord, I just pray for the power to prevail. Whatever mountain is being faced in the lives of your people right now, God, if it's medical, I just speak right now healing in the name of Jesus. Just as Jesus said, I felt virtue flow out of my body. I pray for the power to heal your people, to flow right now, God, not from me, but through you, God, from you. I thank you that you have given healing. You, and as Jesus said, you are already clean by the words which I have spoken to you. Lord, I pray if there is condemnation, shame, guilt, I speak power to prevail over that condemnation right now. Power to prevail over that shame. Power to prevail over guilt. Power to prevail over circumstances and situations. Lord, I pray for the one that is struggling today with a financial issue. I pray that you would provide, come through, show yourself to be faithful. I know that you are, and I know that you will, God. We surrender ourselves to you. We thank you for the power of God. to overcome the opposing forces in our life. And I thank you that you have given us each other to work together, to encourage one another, to love one another, so that we, like those horses, could not just do what we can do, not just do twice of what we can do, but it becomes a multiplication when we put you in the middle of it. We thank you for your power in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace, and may you walk in the power that's working inside of you so that you can prevail. You can overcome any opposing forces in your life. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who loved you. And I speak a blessing over your life today in Jesus' name. If you would like personal prayer, I'll be down here in the altar. I'd be happy to pray with you for anything that you're facing, anything that you need this morning. But if not, go with God. We love you. We speak a blessing over you. Have a Jesus-filled week. We love you. Bye.